Hey, key holder. I'm saying something different this time because we have a fun little intro for you at the beginning of the episode where it starts with me and Anthony recording. So I'm not going to say my usual line. But yeah, this is the last episode of Opening the Door podcast for 2023. We are moving next week into 2024, and this is our 2024 Spiritual Resolutions podcast. So we did the same style podcast episode last year where you submitted your spiritual resolutions and Anthony and I went over them, we talked about them, we gave them tips, and we're doing the same thing this year. So I had people submit their resolutions over Instagram, and that was really fun. If you did submit a resolution, it is in here. We read everybody's resolution. So super fun episode. Before we hop in, I just wanted to mention that I still have for the month of January those 2024 themes readings open. So feel free to take a look at those. Every book title that is mentioned in this episode has been added to the Opening the Door Book Recs link that you can also find in the show notes. And you can find Anthony's info in the show notes and also some new products added to my website in honor of this episode. So just a few different sort of types of trackers. We have a meditation tracker, like it's a digital download meditation tracker, and some other types of habit tracking for your spirituality practices. So that's really exciting too. Oh, I know this is a long intro. Just a few more things. So last year in January, I took a break. I took basically all of January off and did no new episodes, but I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to do something a little bit different this January. So this January, it will just be but kind of I'm calling minisodes, like sort of more smaller mini episodes, solo episodes by me. I'll just be talking about some topics that people have been asking about and going over sort of some really good basics. So if solo episodes that are a little bit shorter about basics aren't for you and you're already thinking maybe you'll skip January, and you jumped into the podcast this year, I encourage you to go back to season one and two and listen from the beginning because there are so many great episodes back from those times too. And I know a lot of people jumped in to this podcast. I had a really big uptick in listenership in the fall. So if you jumped in the fall and have just been listening since then, I do encourage you to go back and listen to all the great episodes from before you jumped in. I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to everybody who joined the Opening the Door community this year. I am so, so, so grateful to have you. I am so grateful for everybody who booked a mini reading with me, who booked a Zoom reading with me, who connected with me on Instagram. Like, just thank you so, so much for being part of this community. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful new year. And with that said, I will see you in 2024. You will hear me in 2024. Enjoy the episode. And remember, don't be afraid to open your door.
Welcome to Opening the Door podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic and mediumship abilities.
Wow, Anthony, that was really good.
I'm taking over.
The people are going to love it.
They better. I
They're gonna
actually
love
like
it.
enunciated and articulated that.
It was very good.
I don't feel that I hold a match to you at all, but that thank you for letting me do that. I'm gonna start my own podcast now. That's
Okay, I
it.
can't wait to be a guest on your podcast.
You can be the first guest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People, by the way, I'm not starting my own podcast. I don't have the tenacity
I
or
bet so many people probably got really excited when you said that, though.
the time. I hope that would be nice.
That would be so fun. So Anthony and I are here today to discuss people's spiritual resolutions that they submitted through Instagram. These were all submitted through Instagram. I asked a few times on stories through the little question box for people to submit their resolutions, their spiritual resolutions for the year, and we got so many great responses. So we're gonna do this sort of in the same format as we did last year. And one of us will read one, we'll give some advice, some tips, some thoughts, and then the other person will do the same. And we'll get right on through it. Maybe at the end, we'll talk about our own spiritual resolutions if you want to, also, Anthony.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Do you want to start with your first one?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, first of all, I have to say this. I love this episode, and Haley happy 1 year of doing the same episode last year. I feel so lucky. And happy winter solstice.
Happy winter solstice. Everybody will be hearing this probably a few days after. This is going to be the last episode of the season. I think it was. Yeah, I think it was the last episode of last season too. And I love this episode. So I hope it just continues to be like a staple in the lineup. So
it
yeah,
absolutely should. I love it too. And I'm excited. And I really appreciate you asking me to do it with you again. So,
oh my gosh, of course. Of course. Literally, who else?
Honestly, if you can think of somebody, let me know so I can find them and hunt them down. Okay. all right, let's get started here. So the first one I have here is a goal for next year is consistency with communication, journaling, and meditation. And so that one is interesting because communication, like with everybody, with yourself, with your guides, like that's kind of open to interpretation. But I actually think it's funny because you included that, whoever wrote this included it with journaling. And to help improve communication, journaling is always my first tip. Like you want to communicate better, journal your thoughts, journal everything that's going on. When you're angry, journal what you're angry about, journal what you're sad about, what you're happy about too. I think that's one problem why people fall away from journaling is they only journal the bad stuff. And so now their journal is filled with all these like bad, angry, or sad energies, and journal the happy stuff as well. When it comes to meditation, you can also kind of braid that into your journaling, meaning have a meditation and journal your meditations. I have like 4 journals that I have right now, a dream journal. I have a sitting in the power journal. I have a regular just like journal that I journal things in. And then I have my mediumship development journal too, which Haley, I know you have that too, but I know that's like overwhelming to most people. But when we want to talk about journaling and meditation, braid those two things together. Starting with meditation, if you've listened to Haley's podcast where we've talked about meditation, this is something that you've probably heard me say before. Same time, same place, same fragrances like incense, same sounds, everything, and same day or every day. So it just helps your subconscious when it's in the morning time, when you wake up and you have that first sip of coffee or tea or whatnot. And then you sit down and you light that same incense and you're sitting in the same place, your subconscious is going to start to understand that it's time to meditate. And it takes a minute. Like you might be doing this for like, if you want to start with every other day or every couple of days, it might take you a couple of weeks to get into the habit of it, but you'll start to realize you're going to go from sitting there for 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 20 minutes. I had a meditation the other week. I was in my meditation for almost 30 minutes, which is big for me because I have awesome. zero sit in my ass and I cannot meditate for that long because I'm too antsy, but I'm a really good meditator and that's what it took to get me there. But when you're in those like 5 minute segments of meditating, as soon as you get done meditating, grab your journal, write down what did you do this time. I lit my a lavender incense and I did this and I was able to sit for this long and these are the things that happened. And then the next time, if you change something and it works better for you, then write that down. So that way you can kind of incorporate the journaling and then it just becomes second nature. So all in all, journaling is going to help with communication. It's going to help you communicate with yourself. It's going to help with clarity and communication, especially when you're journaling things like the happy times as well as the sad or the angry times, journaling your spiritual experiences, and then adding in the meditative practice in there and journaling with that too. It kind of braids all three together, if that makes sense. Sorry, was that long-winded?
No, it's perfect. This episode is for giving people the tips too. So I love the tips.
And
No, go ahead.
Oh my God,
Anthony, I just realized what you're saying. Yeah, not just the tip. We want to give the whole thing, the whole sausage. Anthony loves the sausage. Told me that before we hit record.
We were talking about pizza first.
We were talking about meat, right, Anthony? We're talking about meat.
This is a family-friendly... No.
Is it?
No, not anymore. This podcast has been rated R.
This is rated explicit. The one thing I will say on this is like that consistency point, consistent with my communication, journaling, meditations. Yeah, consistency is sometimes hard to come by, especially as a human being living in this big old wide world. And I think like building habits is such an important thing. It's like, I don't know, we've like touched on it briefly. One book that I read that I really enjoyed in terms of habit building, this is a really popular one, but the book Atomic Habits, I think it's by James Clear. It's not a spirituality book at all. It's just about building habits and like how to, you know, build habits correctly, or like, you know, in a, it's some stuff about building habits that has really helped me sort of frame how to build habits. So if you are interested in sort of getting that consistency in habits forming, I would suggest that book. I think it's great, even though it's not technically like a spirituality book, still super duper helpful. So I think like just showing up. So it's like, okay, I'm going to meditate Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 7:30 in the morning, right? So if you wake up at like 7:25 or whenever your alarm goes off, and you're like, holy shit, I do not want to do this today, but it's Wednesday and you're supposed to be doing it. Like, to build the habit, this is part of the book, that book I just mentioned, is like, just show up to the place where you're going to meditate. That's the first thing that you just need to do. Even if it's just going and sitting in the place where you planned on meditating, getting up and then going about your day. Like, it's just building the habit to like actually get there. And then probably by the time you get to that place where you're supposed to sit and meditate, you'll be like, well, I'm here anyway, so I'm just going to do it.
Yep.
You know, that type of thing. That. So just get your ass to the place and see how that feels, basically.
I love it.
Yeah. I was going to say, as I said, that's sort of just, you know, ripped right out of the Atomic Habits book. So if you like the sound of that, I would just say, like, go take a look at those, that stuff.
That's such a great, because that's, I'll be honest with you, for me, I have to look at my schedule and be like, okay, so as a medium and a developing medium, and Haley, I know you understand this too, sitting in the power is, it's even more key than I thought it was, honestly. And I developed a practice of it. Now I'm giving myself grace right now, because with the retrograde, there's a lot of changes coming up for me and I'm not doing it every single day, but I do it. When I do it every single day. And sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes. I journal every single time I'm done, but it took me like a minute to just like, I would literally get up from the couch and tell my husband, I got to go do my meditations. I'll be right back. That was not easy, but it's just like, show up. Yeah. And it'll start happening. And honestly, for anybody else who's wanting to develop a meditative practice, think bigger picture in your spiritual development and your spiritual growth, not even just for mediumship, but for everything. Meditation is quite possibly one of the most important aspects of spiritual growth. And if you just think about it more big picture and not just dialing in on the fact that you don't like to meditate, it really does kind of make a difference. It kind of helps change the perspective. So anyway, yeah. I love that.
No, I love that, because I was just listening to a different podcast about like habits and habit forming today. And she said something that was so good, that was like, when you do something in the now, you are voting, you're making a vote, you're casting a vote for your future self. And yeah. I just love that so much. It's like, who is this future self of me that I'm really trying to sort of curate right now, or like be, and then casting a vote for that version of you, I think is just such a cool thought. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that a lot. Oh, I'm going to cast a vote for myself.
Yeah, it feels so empowering. It's like, fuck yeah, really, I'm voting for myself. So yeah, that's just some words from Haley and Anthony about consistency.
Hell yeah, baby.
Love it. Okay, so these next two resolutions that I'm going to read, I'm actually going to sort of read them together. They're from two separate people, but they really go together. And I think it's just good to have both these together so we can discuss. So the first one that somebody submitted is Meet My Spirit Guide. And the second one that somebody submitted, two different people, is I really want to meet my spirit guide in a dream. So these are just two different sort of goals about meeting your guide. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that just guide work is just one of my favorite things. It was the first thing that I sort of like was able to really latch into in my spiritual journey myself at the very beginning. So I just sort of want to share a few tips here about like what I did. And some of these might feel elementary. You might feel like, okay, I'm already doing these things. But like, when we're trying to meet our guides, we have to be consistent and show up and like show them that we want to show up. We just talked about consistency. And like sometimes it is just going to take a while because you have to sort of step away from your ego and you have to be able to hear your guide's voice. And it took me a while to hear the difference between my intuitive voice, like my intuitive voice and my guide's talking. And I think that's a really important delineation. So that's part of that guide growth and like being able to meet your guides. And the other thing I want to say here before I get into the tips is I had a relationship with one of my guides who's like my main guide. And I had a relationship with her for a long time before I could even like really see her in my mind's eye. Like I knew she was there. I knew she sort of presented feminine. Like that's why I call her her. But it took me, I want to say like a year and a half to 2 years to actually see her show up in my mind's eye. So this is a journey, guys. And for some of you, maybe it'll happen in a few weeks. For some of you, it might be 6 months or a year and a half or 2 years. It's like, we just have to keep showing up for these things that we want, you know? So my tips, my first one, and Anthony, I'd love to hear your tips as well if you have any. My first one is just sort of to establish communication. So like just talk to your guides, even if you feel like nobody's on the other end of the line. I would sort of just talk to them about my day. I would ask if they would meet me in a dream. And everybody who's listened to the podcast for a while knows that they've never met me in a dream that I can remember. They don't do nights. So
clock in, guys. I'm going
they
to bed.
Need their beauty sleep. They don't meet me in dreams that I remember. Maybe that has happened that like I'm not remembering, but that's always been something that I've wanted. I've always wanted like a really profound dream where I'm like, holy shit, I met my guide. But you know what? It hasn't happened and that's fine. So you can sort of specify how you want to meet them. They can show up for that or they won't. If you do like this one specific goal that is to meet your guide in a dream, I think setting that intention before you go to sleep could be really helpful. But like I wouldn't do it every night. I think that creates, and Anthony, me and you have talked about this a lot, like creates that resistance of wanting it so much, creates that resistance. So just be like, I don't know, just like wish it and allow it to go and like try to feel casual about it, I guess. Do you think that's okay?
Yeah, I do actually. I feel like putting the intention out there to just kind of maybe set an invitation and be like, make it an invitation. Because if you think about it, invitations, you don't have to accept the invitation, right? And so if you want to do like Haley said, don't go to bed every single night and be like, I want to meet my guides tonight. I want to meet my guides tonight in my dreams. Go to bed if you want an every single night type of thing, if that's like your intensity, right? Or not intensity. I know it is an intensity, whatever. I'm not going to push around that. But maybe instead of wanting it, I invite my guides to my dreams tonight for my highest and best good. Yeah. I always add my highest and best good to everything because that kind of makes it even, I think it like sweetens the deal. But no, I absolutely agree. And you know, I feel like we're going to say this so much in tonight's recording, but like, if you've listened to the podcast before,
Have you listened to it? Is this your first episode?
If this is your first time, welcome. And we love you. The Samantha Faye's Awaken Dreamer. One of the things that we talked about in that, if you've read the book, you probably remember that sometimes you might go to bed and invite your guides and for weeks, nothing happens, but then randomly weeks later, bam, you have a crazy dream. I want to talk about one thing that you did say about working with your guide, Haley, is that you were made aware of your guide and you were aware that this was a female presenting person, got spirit guide, but you had no idea what they looked like. So be open as possible when wanting to connect to a guide, whether it be dream work or anywhere, be as open as possible, because the more you paint the picture of what you think it is, the more resistance you're giving the universe. You're putting it in a box. So be as open as possible because your guide might come to you in a dream and it's just their voice, or it might be just a light, or it might be, you know, something like that. And you might not think, oh, well, that's not my guide. I didn't see anybody there. Well, that doesn't mean they're not there. You know, just be very open and be very, make it an invitation versus a want or need, right?
I love the invitation idea so much. I think that's such a great way to frame it. And if you're a visual person, or like if you work a lot in your clairvoyance, I would say it might even be fun to like see a letter in your mind and like sort of e-send it within your mind as an invitation. I think that could be really fun too. So if you kind of
Absolutely.
want to get a little cheese ball clairvoyant about it, go ahead and do that. And I am all for the cheese ball stuff. So yeah, so opening that stuff, like opening your communication, talking, even if you're not sure anybody's on the other end of the line, learning their voice, I think, is really important. So that's just about being aware of the voices that come through for you. How does your ego sound? How does your intuition sound? When you know those and something else comes through, then you can sort of get to know that voice and in your intuition, feel if that's your guides coming through. So,
Love that.
yeah. And then figure out the mode that your guides like to communicate in. Maybe like my guides obviously don't like to communicate through dreams. So we communicate a lot through, signs and symbols that
I'm
they'll send me
just
in the
gonna
real
say
world. Yeah. That was like my biggest thing. I got like, I asked for some signs. I have some great sign stories that I've shared in the past and they really came through. So I know that that's a way that my guides really like to communicate.
that.
And then when I had that form of communication down, that's sort of when I went and asked to meet them in my own guided meditation. Now, there's some great guided meditations out there for meeting your guides. Samantha Fay has a great one. So yeah, guided meditation could also be a great way to, see if you can receive a guide that way as well.
I have to say this. So, first of all, you completely just reached into my throat and took the words out of my mouth. Signs. A lot of times I feel that we have this big obstacle or resistance to meeting our guides because part of us has that ego thing where it says, do they exist? Are they really there? Without even an invitation or without even like wanting them to come to your dreams, just ask, put it out there, be like, if I have a spirit guide, send me this sign. Show me this today. Be very open. I'm going to tell you one time I asked, I met a guide in a Reiki. I was getting Reiki done, and I met a guide in a Reiki session, and I asked that guide, if you are my main guide, I call it birth to death guide, show me a lion this week. And I didn't see a fucking lion walking down the street or whatever. I walked into an office building. Like a co-op, like office type of building, was going to get on the elevator, and randomly on the wall close to the corner of the building, there was a carving of a lion's head sticking out of the wall. Like just so random, like it didn't look like it belonged there. It was just so weird. I literally stood there and was in such awe, but I stayed open because you never know how it's going to show up. So just ask for a sign. Just say, hey, if I have a spirit guide. And ask for a sign. Obviously, I live in Florida, everybody. I'm not gonna go, please show me a palm tree, right? Because I'm gonna
Yes, be
walk
aware.
out.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
If you
right?
ask to see a strawberry and you open your freezer and you see your bag of frozen strawberries that you bought 3 days ago, that's not your sign. And I'm using strawberry as a sign because that's one of the signs that I love to use
I
with my
know,
guides.
strawberries and blueberries, right? My
Yeah,
favorite.
strawberries and blueberries. Strawberry is sort of the sign where even if I haven't asked for one, but I start seeing them everywhere, it just feels like my guide's saying like hi and just that they're
That's
there. And I just love that.
blue butterflies for me,
Yeah.
actually, which is so funny. I love that. And I'll be like, oh, they're here. And it's
Yeah.
actually an ancestor. And for me, it's an ancestor who shows me that. So I love that. Okay. Anyway,
Love it.
sorry, we could go on forever.
Yes. Okay. What's
Oh, I'm sorry.
the next one on your list? Your next submission.
Ooh, I like this one. Begin learning mediumship and further energy healing studies. I love that. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the healing studies, further your healing studies. I don't know who this is or what they're, if, how far they are, but start your practice. Just if you haven't started practicing your healing practices on people, start your practice. If you're furthering your studies, I'm going to assume that you're in a place to where you probably need to start laying hands. And when I say that, I mean like actually get to work with it, whether it's, Haley's doing like boxing moves. Don't do
Throwing
that.
hands, just
She's
kidding.
throwing hands.
This is a
I
gentle
say,
podcast.
this is a very gentle podcast where we talk about sausage. But go ahead, just start your practice. I feel that it is important to not just have your head in a book and taking notes and listening to podcasts and taking classes. If you're studying healing, there is a practice that needs to be put into play there. So for some reason, I don't know if this is an intuitive push, an intuitive guide, but I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you, start practicing. On people, start practicing on your loved ones, pets, start practicing on animals, just do what you need to do for that. And, if you want to further your studies, then start taking classes more, look for groups, look for other people who you can work with. You know, that's a really big deal for me right now with mediumship is, you know, wanting to create a group or have a people that I can work with. Like Haley and I have been doing some work together and I so appreciate it. But yes, so as when we get into begin learning mediumship, I want you to know that I completely understand, and I'm sure Haley, you do too, the anxiety that comes with starting that journey. And the best thing to do is take the plunge and understand that everybody has been new at doing that, all of this stuff at one point in time. And, you know, if you guys would like books, if you're more of a book reader, I love a mediumship book. And it's not just because I feel that there's always good practices and good meditations and good exercises in the books. I love to learn how other mediums learned and listen to what resonates with you because not everything is going to resonate with you. So, and that's another big thing is when you open up any sort of book, whether it be on mediumship, psychic development, healing studies, witchcraft, Reiki, there are going to be aspects to each of these things that will not resonate with you and be okay with that. Because if it doesn't resonate with you now, perhaps you're just not ready for it. And it will resonate with you later, or you'll find another way. But to begin mediumship, books, who's the lady? Kay Reynolds is who
Kay
we're
Reynolds,
reading.
The Evidential Medium.
Uh-huh. Evidential Medium is good. That one's better if you have groups of people, apparently. Like, really, I don't know how we would do this by ourselves.
Unless you're just sort of reading to learn and hear her stories and, like, stuff like that. I think it would be fine. Yeah. Is that her only book, or does she have another?
I think that's her only book right now. Mm-hmm. Honestly, a really, really good book for, especially for evidential mediumship is Where Two Worlds Meet by, Janet Novahack, I think is the name. Very empowering book. And she's kind of like old school mediumship, the magical medium. If you're a little bit more witchy and you want to learn more about that, the magical world and kind of wrapping that with mediumship. I literally follow her on Instagram. I can't remember her last name. Anyway, Magical Mediumship. That's the only book. But like
that is linked in the bookshop, Opening the Door Bookshop book rec. So if you want to find that. And I'll also link in that the Where Two Worlds Meet too, because that sounds like a really good one. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And it's not very long. It's not a very like intimidating looking book. None of these books are. But yeah, so, you know, I think too, you know, I would say stay tuned because one of my spiritual goals is to start teaching more next year. And I think that I would love to start doing some sort of like mentorship, sort of like it would be more of like a workshop mentorship thing. This year I did a little workshop mediumship group. And I think next year I'm going to really kind of put it into practice a little bit more. And so that could be something. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, finding a good mentor. And obviously too, these podcasts like that Haley does, and there's other podcasts that you can listen to as well, but like podcasts with people that you trust are going to be really good in hearing them. Obviously Haley, you're my number one, you know, to go to, but there's other like the Squamish Medium is a really good one. Danielle Sarank is a very good one. Psychic Teachers, Samantha Fay, of course.
Classic.
We can't gush about her enough, but those types of places are good places to get started. But if you're thinking about taking a mediumship class, find the person that you trust, find someone that resonates with you and take the plunge and just go. And you know what? Worst thing that's going to happen is you're not going to like it, honestly. And know this, I'm going to say this to you and everybody else listening right now. Every medium that I have ever read books from or talked to, or including myself, and I know Haley, we've talked about this before. Every medium has moments in their lives when they don't think it's meant for them. And I've had the moments myself. I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm not a good medium, blah, 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 blah. And then the next week I have a reading and it's like, I'm literally just walking in the spirit world, talking to people. And so just know that there's going to be those moments and embrace it and keep moving forward. So what do you have to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with energy healing and learning mediumship, I think what you mentioned at the beginning is like practicing with people and you're going to have to sort of get some courage to put yourself out there and offer it to people. Like especially if people don't know you're doing it yet, it's going to be you who's don't message random people on the internet, but like your friends, friends of friends. I have read for so many like family members of friends or friends of friends, and that has been so helpful. So just like starting to work with your circle of people, and then it'll sort of bubble out from there naturally, and you can get a lot of practice in that way. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit about just putting yourself out there and being willing to say, hey, I'm doing this. If you're open to, you know, having practice for free, like, let me know, reach out, that type of thing. So be willing to do that. And yeah, figure out what learning modality is best for you. I think taking a class or two from somebody you really trust can be so helpful. Working with a mentor can be so helpful, you know, and book reading as well. Book reading has just been such a great way. Like, if you are feeling nervous and you kind of want to learn the lingo and sort of learn sort of the world before you jump into a class, I think reading a book or two could be a great way to do that as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen to your intuition when it comes to taking classes and stuff, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Good question. Or good, what do we call it? Resolution.
Good resolution. Very good. So the next resolution that was, I was going to say requested, but that's not the right word. The next resolution that
submitted.
Was submitted. Thank you. that was submitted is one word, and it just says acceptance.
Why did that hit me so deep?
I don't know. Like, the word, it just like is running over me. I feel like it's just like, ooh, it feels so deep. It feels so earthy. I don't know like why I want to use that word. It just feels so earthy. It feels, let me just tell you what I'm seeing when I read this word and when I see it as a submission. I see the person like sort of tethered to the earth through this like really beautiful golden cord. And then just like the acceptance that they're practicing sort of is just like this amazing receiving moment for them. And I see like lots of light pink, lots of sort of beautiful pink colors as well. So sort of some stuff flowing through for you there. But yeah, I don't know. It just, I love it because it almost feels all encompassing to a spiritual journey. It's just like, oh, okay. I accept, you know, and I allow, accept and allow. It's our favorite words.
Accept and allow. And if I don't mind me saying this, I feel acceptance, something that is very linear or comes with acceptance, is peace. Making
yes.
peace. And that's why it hits me. And I love that you, Haley, that your clairvoyance is incredible. Incredible. How you just envision this golden tether to the world, to the earth, with all this beautiful light, pink and everything coming around you. And all I can see is around this person is chaos and, you know, maybe sorrow and things going wrong and, you know, things that might seem going wrong, and just them being able to accept the situation and make peace and find peace within all this chaos. And to me, when I hear acceptance, that's what I think about, is being like, you know, this is my situation and I accept it as it is. And when you do that, you give up resistance and you find peace. And I don't know where the tip is here.
Yeah, I was going to say, what tip can I give? I think we're just sort of like jamming on the idea of acceptance. And I hope somewhere in there, the person who submitted this can sort of just like, you know, take that encouragement of, I think this is a fantastic spiritual resolution. And yeah, I think if we're going to offer a tip, I think it's sort of just like practicing the presence of acceptance every day, if you can, you know, or just like feeling does acceptance come really easily in my life? Mm-hmm. And then how can I apply it to things that feel really hard to accept in my life too? I don't know.
I have two things to say. Read the book, The Power of Now. Haley said the presence of acceptance. And one of the best way to practice acceptance is to be present. And let me give you an example. If you are on your way, or you're at work, and a friend across the country is having a bad time and they're going through something and they're really miserable and whatnot. And if you're one of those people like I am, who's like, oh my God, I need to be there for my friend and blah, 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 or something goes wrong somewhere and you're not there, you have no control over it. There's nothing you could possibly be doing. That's a moment when you need to accept that there's nothing you can do, and make peace with the fact that somebody's going through something and they might have to deal with it themselves, and you're going to have to get to them later. Being present with where you're at right then and there. That doesn't mean shirk responsibilities. That doesn't mean that, but to find acceptance in that. Be observant of your attitude when situations arise, making sure that, you know, let's say you have a fender bender on your way to work. It sucks. It's a situation that's going to set you back, and it's very inconvenient, but it's happened and you can't change it. So why resist it? Accept the fact that it happened, do what you need to do and move on about your day. Those are little practices. Well, hopefully nobody gets an offender bender, but those are little practices that you can do to practice acceptance. But I think what you said about being present is the most important, like be present with your acceptance. And The Power of Now, he talks about making peace with situations like death and losing loved ones in that aspect, and understanding that making peace with something or accepting something might not bring you happiness. It just makes it easier to live with. It makes it easier to work through. It doesn't mean that you're going to be happy. It just means that you can actually enjoy. You can enjoy other things, right?
Mm.
You can actually live your life. But understanding that sometimes acceptance doesn't mean happiness. Acceptance means you're able to move forward, which is deep, right? I know it's like,
holy shit, dude. Oh my God, Anthony. Wow. That really hit me. Oh, I'm going to have to add that book now to my list. Sometimes I get so stressed out that I can't read every single fucking book in the world. Like, I only have a certain amount of time.
Listen, The Power of Now, I've read it once. The way it's structured is fucking amazing. It's like question and answer. However, I strongly suggest listening to it. Eckhart Tolle, the author of The Power of Now, he actually narrates it. And I've heard some people like, oh my God, his voice is so hard to listen to, because it's actually very calming. So it can be very hard to stay awake. But I loved it. And it was so cool to hear him. Honestly, I know this is crazy. Like, some people are like, oh my God, Britney Spears, blah, blah. And like all these celebrities. If I were to meet Eckhart Tolle, I'd probably cry, because book has saved my life. And when I say saved my life, I'm talking like from the brink of like wanting to end my world to just like going through a breakup and dealing with like things like that, you know, that book has come through for me so hard. So definitely a great book for acceptance, for sure.
Need to read. Also, I'm so fucking glad that you're here in my world. So I love you so much.
I love you. Stop. I accept you.
All right, Anthony, what is the next one on your list?
I love this. It says, actually try to meditate at least once a week. I'm going to harken back to what we just said a little bit, in the same time, same place, same, not only that, but incense, music, everything. What I actually do, my sitting in the power meditation throughout the week, every day, if I can, I might skip one day, but my main meditation where I like to go meet up with my guides and sit and receive and whatever, I do every Tuesday morning. You guys are going to shit your pants right now. I do every Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. Okay.
Jesus Christ. I could never.
A lot, right? The reason why is my day job, or my human job, is I'm an Orange Theory coach, head coach for Orange Theory. And on Tuesday mornings, I have to be there at 4:30. So I actually have to get up anyway. I don't just get up to meditate.
Yeah. Yeah.
the whole reason why I say that, though, is because I have found that I meditate better in the morning. I meditate better when I wake up and I drink my whatever, if it's caffeine, an energy drink of sorts, or coffee. I wish tea had enough caffeine for me, but it just doesn't, because I'm addicted. But I wake up, I start drinking that. I get my meditation crystals together. I know what music I'm going to listen to. I know what incense I'm going to light. I also want to tell you guys right now, a key to meditating: noise reducing headphones have helped me significantly. And I wish I would have had these, you know, 6 years ago when I really started meditating, but I didn't. But yeah, just figure out what time of day works best for you to meditate, and then figure out what day of the week that time of day works every single week. And for me, it's just 3 a.m. and Tuesday mornings. And I'm going to tell you what, I've had some of the most prolific meditations at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's the witching hour.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I was going to say. this is about that sort of consistency. I think if you want to use some sort of tracker, that could be really helpful. It could be like a piece of paper that you stick to your wall, or it could be, you know, maybe you have two jars and you get to put like a jewel or like a little bead in the jar every time you meditate. Maybe that's your way of feeling motivated to do it every time, or something like that. You know, find your little motivator. And like, maybe that would also help sort of sticking to, you know, a once a week meditation too.
Absolutely. And before you know it, you're going to get to a place where your significant other or your friends say, hey, you're kind of being a dick, you should go meditate.
Isn't it your time to meditate?
Yeah, isn't it your time
to
go meditate?
Yeah.
Jared has said that to me before. He's like, hey, you've been kind of moody lately. When was the last time you meditated? I'm like, you're right. Leave me alone. I'm going to go do it right now. But that's what it is. Listen, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Great. I think that's a really awesome and very attainable resolution to have.
I agree. I totally think you can do it. We believe in you. Me and Anthony believe in you so hard.
So hard that it probably hurts.
All right, great. This one is actually, the next one I have on my list is actually a really good follow-up to this. And it is to be so on top of my spiritual practices that it's second nature. And I love this. This is sort of like, this one really comes into play that like those habit forming things. Uh-huh. So, you know, let's say it's January 2nd or 3rd or whatever. And you're like, okay, my spiritual practice every day is to meditate at 6 in the morning for 20 minutes. I'm going to journal for 10 minutes and I'm going to do whatever. Like that's your little spiritual morning, right? Or evening, whatever time, right? Before, it's kind of like if your New Year's resolution is to like go to the gym and you burn yourself out by going to the gym 7 days a week for 2 weeks. Like that is not what we want here. You don't want to burn yourself out on a spiritual practice 2 weeks into January. So it's about just showing up, and you don't have to meditate for a fucking hour the first time you're ever trying to meditate. Like do 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, show up in ways that actually feel attainable to you. And then you will be able to show up in bigger ways later, but make sure your spiritual practices at first to make them second nature. You got to make them easy to get to. I think that's probably the fastest way I could explain this. And life happens, guys. Like Anthony and I, we like sometimes I'll take a break from my meditation practice because I need to get up and I need to write this or that. I just need to start my day really quick and like do a bunch of stuff. I need to edit the podcast before I do this or that. You know, you can be flexible and build your habits at the same time, I would say. But these habits that you want to build, I will say also do take a little bit of discipline. I think we did talk about discipline a little bit on last year's. And so I'll remind everybody that discipline happens after the motivation is gone. Motivation happens when you're really excited. The discipline kicks in when the motivation is gone. So,
oh my God, I forgot about that. I love that. Oh,
yeah. And that's about discipline becomes a little bit more easy when your practices are built on those little easy habit forming stuff. So I don't know. I feel like it kind of feels like a tough truth, but a truth that maybe just needs to be said. Like, yeah, we got to show up for ourselves even when it feels a little bit hard.
Absolutely. You know, with this resolution, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my spiritual practices and my just all encompassing spiritual practice. And I can't think of anything. And I've been in it for years at this point. And, you know, I'm talking like almost over a decade now. And I don't know anything that I have that is second nature. And maybe I would say aspects. So like my meditations and my sitting in the power, what I do is second nature. I don't know the actual sitting in the power, like going.
I totally get what you're saying. Like, yeah. The first thing I do when I sit down to meditate is I ground myself. Like I see those words coming out. That is second nature for me. But is sitting down to meditate second nature for me?
Yeah.
That is the question.
That is the question. The practice itself has become second nature. I would say that when I want to meditate, when I actually get up at that, you know, 3 a.m. and I sit down to meditate, once I actually sit down, everything from there on is second nature, you know, that part is. But I think that I think what you said about burnout and making sure you're not trying to push yourself, make it attainable, find the discipline after the motivation goes away. I think the key to that is going to stay balanced, because here's what happens is people get a taste. And I say people, knowing that I am absolutely one of these people, they get a taste of that spiritual frequency, that raisin frequency. And it's like an addiction. It's like a sugar rush, right? You want more and you want to go and you want to go, but just like sugar, you crash. And the best way to maintain is to balance it out. One of my favorite things to say to people when they start talking about being burnt out is you are a human and you have to be human. And Haley knows this because we talk all the time, because like, hello, besties. I personally right now am going through a huge spiritual break or what have you. It's kind of different for me because usually when I get forced to take a break from spirituality, I feel like I'm blocked. I am not blocked by any sense. I can still hear my guides and I can still feel spirit. And I've had readings that have been so cool and so great and so impactful, but I have no motivation and no drive to do my sitting in the power. And I know that it's because of what's coming in the future for me and these big changes that are going to happen, that spirit is saying, you need to be human right now. You need to enjoy the mundane world. You need to be human. You need to do human things. You need to play video games and watch TV and just be a human.
Eat a cheese which is pizza.
Oh, with sausage. But like those things. And, yes. You know, I think one of the things that we talked about in last year's podcast when it talked about discipline is giving yourself grace to kind of fall off a little bit and letting yourself and being okay with that. It's the balance that's going to help things to make them second nature. But also, again, I just want to, I'm not trying to be like, I'm not raining on your parade, but like I said, almost over a decade into this, and I can't think of my spiritual practices. I know aspects of my spiritual practices that are second nature, but in general, it's not second nature. Like I don't automatically, you know, do new moon and full moon rituals. And sometimes I do. And sometimes I'm like, not feeling it this time. I just go with the flow as much as possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I totally agree. And yeah, I think as humans, like we ebb and flow totally. And just being okay with that ebb and flow, like finding a balance between the discipline and the ebb and flow is really important. Mm-hmm. So good luck with that, everybody.
Absolutely. I love what you said about discipline doesn't happen until after the motivation is gone. That is so fucking cool. I mean, it's cool, but it's like deep. It's like, I feel like we should be smoking weed right now.
Hell yeah.
Wait, like that's such like a, I feel like that's kind of like a high thought, you know? Have you ever heard that term? I love that.
I've experienced that term. Yeah, for sure.
I have experienced it too. I love that term.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. What is next up on your list, Anthony? Oh,
kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, and patience, and trying to channel Kuan Yin. So here's the thing, before disclaimer time here, I know of this deity, Kuan Yin. I don't know much about them. Now, I do know that Kuan Yin is kind of embraces all everything, kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, and patience, and compassion. Like the first thing that pops up when you Google this deity is compassion. And so I think for this person, kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, and patience, step one, make sure you have all of that with yourself. Kindness for yourself, forgiveness for yourself, which is one of the hardest things. Gentleness and patience. Have that with yourself first. Step one. Step two, have that with as many people as you possibly can. And if there's someone in your life who you don't feel you can have that with, then there's probably a reason for that. Pay attention. Now, because of my small amount of knowledge of Kuan Yin, I do want to speak to this deity, sort of like working with deity, working with spirit in this realm in more of a bigger picture, kind of more broad and generalized way. And so when you are wanting to channel or work with deity like this, step one, build the relationship with said deity, read about them, meditate on them, figure out what aspects of them, what corresponds with them. I'm going to speak towards Hecate or Hecate, because that's a deity that I personally work with often. And the way that I developed my relationship with Hecate was learned everything I possibly could, read everything, books, and like, I watched YouTube videos, I listened to podcast episodes, and I just started building my own relationship with Hecate. And I found out corresponding things to her. Black dogs. She likes garlic and herbs, like lots of baneful herbs, poisonous herbs, and then all these types of sort of things that go with her. And I started kind of implementing those things into my practices. So, you know, I was talking to Haley about this and telling her what I'd learned, because I did do a little quick Google search of Kuan Yin. And one of the things that they talked about was her being symbol of veganism, or not veganism, vegetarianism.
Vegetarian, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're not already a vegetarian, maybe this is one of those things where you have like a vegetarian day where you only eat vegetables and in hopes to kind of call in this energy. So things like this, like building that relationship and kind of working on that. And, you know, I think that I love statues and I love symbols of said of deities. And maybe there's one that you could get, like a necklace or some sort of pendant for them, so that you always have that with you. And you know, the fact that you're trying to do like the kindness and you know, gentleness and everything, and Kuan Yin is also in that same realm. You know, when you find yourself having those moments of wanting to bitch slap a hoe, you can grab your Kuan Yin pendant and be like, help me, please. You know,
Help
things
me
like
not bitch
that.
slap this
Yeah.
hoe.
Help me not bitch slap this hoe, please. But yeah, I think those are all really good ways to do it, you know. And I do want to say one thing here is I have listened to when I was listening to podcasts about, you know, Hecate and deities and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people out there who will sit here and tell you this is what it's gonna look like and this is what it is and blah 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 blah. And I'm here to tell you that's bullshit. And you know, I do feel that it's gonna happen for you. And they're going to show up for you the way that you need them to show up. And it might not be the way that other people's do. And you know what? You don't have to share that with them. You don't have to tell them. And if it's not the same and someone tries to negate what your experience is, that's their ego. And you just have to just kind of try to brush past it. It's hard, but that's when you need to have kindness and forgiveness and compassion and whatnot, because some people just they're just very, I don't know. It's something that I've found a lot, and it's disheartening to me because you shouldn't take away people's experiences. So that's just a little heads up type of thing. So what do you think, Haley?
Totally love that. Yeah, well, I'll just speak to sort of like that kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, patience stuff. One of my favorite things to do when I'm sort of trying to receive or like be more in the energy of certain stuff like that is I like to do sort of color meditations for this. I don't know if this is a regular thing. I'm sure plenty of people do this. It feels like it came from my own head, but maybe I saw it somewhere else. But so basically it is like, okay, I want to meditate on kindness and forgiveness. So if that were me, I would like place a color with either of those things. So I'm going to make kindness is light pink and forgiveness is light green or something. I'm giving them colors. And then when I'm meditating, I don't have to just repeat over and over again, like kindness, forgiveness, kindness, forgiveness. I just like allow those colors to just like be in my aura and like I allow them to sort of just like envelop me. And I know that those for me are kindness and forgiveness. So I'm like meditating, marinating within those things without having to repeat the words. That makes sense. So I just think that's a fun little tip, you know, if people want to do that.
I have to tell you, you're such a clairvoyant. Everything
I
is like
know.
color, visual.
I
I love
know. It's
it.
my biggest, yeah.
I love that. I think that's
Thanks.
really cool. I like that a lot.
It is my favorite thing.
What's your next one?
My next one is bring in a little more reverence into my everyday ordinary activities.
Okay, let me stop you right there. No, I'm joking. No
Oh my God.
reference. Let's be wild. No, I'm joking.
Irreverence.
Irreverence. No, I'm
I will just say
joking.
I love this one because I don't know, I just think reverence can mean magic too, in my opinion, or just like making things
Oh.
feel like more special or something, like make things feel special in some way. And I think my tip for this one would be I think gratitude can really help with reverence. Let's say you order a pizza and the delivery guy comes and you give him his tip. Why are you looking at me
Because we have talked about pizza so many times and it's just making me hungry.
that? I love
I
pizza.
do too. Let's have some
Anything
reverence
with a
here.
carb, a tomato, and a cheese. It's the best combo in the world. That's why Italian food is pretty much my favorite. It's just
I saw that.
amazing.
I saw
Yeah.
that on your post, Italian
Carb,
food.
tomato,
Yeah.
cheese.
And
Great
what was
combo.
mine? Do you remember what mine was? Literally
Pizza.
pizza. It
Yeah.
was pizza.
We love pizza. This is
Okay,
now a
sorry.
pizza podcast. Okay, so back on topic. Let's say you order your pizza, it comes to the door. You're so grateful for this person who delivered your pizza. You didn't have to leave the house. You sit down with your pizza, you put a slice or two on your plate, you turn your favorite show on. And I think just like for just a second, being like, whoa, I'm so grateful for this moment. I think that can just bring a little bit of reverence into like a really everyday, ordinary activity. Or like maybe you have to go to the gym and you're on the treadmill and you just look down at your feet and like, I am so fucking grateful for the sneakers that I was able to buy that are on my feet. You know, I think that can just add like a little bit of reverence.
Oh, okay. I have to say something here. The reason why I said no at the beginning is, okay, so little backstory real fast, guys, and I'm so sorry, this is a tangent. When at once upon a time, so I grew up in a very evangelical household, and then once upon a time, I decided that my spiritual journey was going to head towards the Mormons, and I became Mormon. And one of the things that they would say a lot in church was be reverent. And
reverence is definitely a church word. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very big church word. But for me, I equate that to sit down, shut up, and pay attention and be quiet and be, you know, that's irreverent. And I see what it means. It's disrespectful when you say it's irreverent. So by the way you just described this with gratitude and things like this, it really shifts my perspective heavily. So I appreciate you for that, Haley. And for whoever wrote this in, thank you so much. Because the first thing that I hear when I said to be more reverent in my whatever, I'm like, ew, why would you ever want to do that? Because of my religious trauma. No. But yeah, no, I think that's a really good thing. And I'm so grateful for these shoes. You said, be grateful for your body. Be grateful for the fact that you can walk to the front door and get the pizza from the delivery man. Like that sort of respect. I'm going to say this with what this one and with the last one about kindness, forgiveness, and everything, how I said, be that with yourself. In the spiritual world, especially, I would say, I hear it more in the witchcraft community, as above, so below, as within, so without. And when you can have that respect for yourself and that kindness with yourself and all that kind of stuff, you'll have it around you, and you'll actually probably see it coming into your life a lot more with people that you meet, all this type of stuff that, you know, like attracts like. And so I do love this. I love this a lot. You guys have no idea how big of a perspective shift this is for me, to be like, to take something that triggers a weird trauma in my body and have it switched and changed, to understand that being reverent is not just sitting down, shutting up, and paying attention. It's just having respect and being grateful for the things that you have. And so I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Haley. Haley B. Haley B. Amazing.
Oh my goodness. Shut up, Anthony. All right. You have, I think, one more on your list.
Get quiet more often. Sit in my head and connect with spirit. All right. I have a suggestion. A, even if you're not meditating, even if you're not doing this for, what's the word I'm looking for mediumship. If you're not doing this for mediumship, you just want to do it in general. I have actually been giving a lot of people in my readings this meditation. Haley, you know what I'm going to say, is the spirit within meditation. It's so good. Connecting with your spirit. The spirit within you. There's something about doing that meditation for me personally that has helped me to understand a little bit more of my frequency, but also helped me to understand my connection to spirit. And it's, if you guys go to kreynolds.org or .com.org, I'm not sure.
So I can also link it in the show notes for people too.
Okay. Yeah. So follow the links. Sitting in the power is another really good way to work with spirit. It also is quiet. And my favorite thing about, so every time I would meditate in the past, do my big, I call my big meditations where I go sit with my guides, I always have the same music, like we've said many times in this show. But when I do a sitting in the power, I don't listen to anything. Right.
Yeah.
So quiet. And that's where my noise reducing headphones come in. And I have the Bose one, which, by the way, were on sale when I bought them, and they literally make you like almost deaf. Like you can't hear much of anything, and it helps so, so much. And I am a weirdo. I hate silence, but this sitting in the power with this has helped me to kind of like embrace the quiet. And so that's another one I'm going to say, is this sitting, the spirit within meditation. And even if you're not developing a mediumship, sitting in the power meditations will help you with this, and it'll help you connect to spirit.
Totally agree. Yeah. And I think this is also like this more often part, get quiet more often. So obviously you're trying to build a habit. We've talked about that a lot in this episode. I'm just like trend alert, building habits. Building habits is in.
It is so in this year, 2024.
Not building habits is out.
Out.
Sitting in the power is in. Not sitting in the power is out.
is out. Obviously, we're tired.
Pizza is in.
Pizza is in, not pizza is out.
Salads are out. Cucumbers are so 2023.
Yes, we're moving to 2024. Cheese pizza with sausage, which would make it a sausage pizza on half because Haley doesn't eat meat. So
Anthony and I are getting a pizza. It'll be a half sausage, half plain cheese pizza. All right. I'm going to get off my tangent now. But what I was going to say is I'm a big fan of like habit trackers for me. I need something visual where I'm like looking at it every day and being able to check a box off. It makes me feel good. So feel free to make a like figure out a habit tracker. I am going to be selling some digital download habit trackers sort of based on people's goals here. So head on over to my website to find those as well. No pressure if you don't want to also.
Shameless plug.
I am here. Shameless plugs are in. Being coy is out. People are going to be so fucking sick of us by the end of this episode. They're going to be like, I need to turn this off.
Unsubscribe.
Because this is, yeah. Because this one is probably our most out of control episode yet, I will say.
It is 8 p.m. and
it's 8:10.
8:10.
We've been talking for a while.
Yeah. And we both have been on it today. So
Ailey's
dealing with spirit people taking her things.
Yeah. And turning on my light. All right. I have one last resolution here, and it is. This is what it says. I want to actually do my shadow work. Okay, cool. I think a lot of the stuff we talked about in terms of habits, but also I think shadow work, I don't know, you might have a different opinion, but I think shadow work is best done when we really feel like doing it, if that makes sense. So I would say take hold of the moments that you actually feel like doing it. Be like, okay, I do feel motivated right now to do my shadow work, and just jump right in rather than being like, oh, I feel in the mood. Oh, maybe I'll do it in 3 days. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm confused, actually. I'm a little bit displaced in my head right now because I think that, how do I say this? I think that shadow work is important. I think that spirit kind of puts you in a place to do your shadow work, and it becomes something that is, you either do it or you don't, and then you get forced to do it type of situation. And so if there are little things that you know that are like shadow aspects of yourself that you need to work on, you know, I'm going to use an example. I personally have really bad self-image issues. So that would be a shadow work thing for me. I need to work on that. And so I would say that you just even writing in about actually doing shadow work means that you want to do it, right? Why are you resisting it? So maybe ask yourself why you're resisting it. And then like what you do, everything that you just put in there. I will say this. It is my personal opinion. And I love being a psychic medium telling people this. And if you go to my website, I actually talk about this. We are not therapists or psychiatrists and stuff. There are some shadow work things that I do feel are better done with a licensed therapist and shadow work. I think that a lot of my personal shadow work things that, I mean, I'm not, no need to go into detail right now, I would share with the world, I don't care, were best done with a therapist. And so if you're having trouble with certain things and you feel that it is big enough that you need a little bit of extra help, don't be afraid of that. Embrace that. Seriously, so much power to everybody. I get really nervous when people say they want to do shadow work. I want to do my shadow work. I want to do this. Because the first thing I say is like, well, what is your shadow work? Like, what do you think it is? And if it's like what I said, like, you know, self-image issues and stuff like that, that is part of that is something that you can work on yourself. There are aspects to my self-image issues that I did have to get therapy for and that I did work on. And I'm so proud of that, guys. I am so proud of that. And I'm telling you, I come from a damn cornfield where therapy is not real, not wrong, you know? And so I do think that, you know, if it's something that you, I feel that you just writing in about this is means that you want to do it. So what do you need to do? What is the resistance there? Can I ask you, Haley, like, what is your viewpoint on shadow work? Like, what do you feel? Because I think shadow work is such a new, I feel like it's a very new agey type of term. You know, so yeah. I don't, yeah. Tell me what you
think so too. The first thing I'll say that is therapy is in for 2024.
Yeah.
Therapy is in. All right. So the now I'll be serious again. So, and but I, that is serious too. Therapy is great. So yeah, shadow work is definitely kind of buzzy, I would say. I think it's a lot of work. Like it is work. And I think it can bring up some really difficult things. So I think you're right. Like, I think therapy can be shadow work in a way, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, so I think it's kind of just about the way you want to approach it. I think journal prompts can only take you so far. I think like a lot of people like to do shadow work, sort of like doing meditation and getting into that subconscious stuff. I do think that if you're on a shadow work journey, it can really change your spiritual practice and it can change your spiritual vibe. And that is not a bad thing, but it's like, it's just something to think about before you dive in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think like getting to know our shadow can help us understand ourselves and our spirit better. And I don't know, but like, I don't know if we need, does it need to be called that? Like, I think me and you have talked a lot about, especially since we started reading The Evidential Medium by Kay Reynolds, is like self-work makes our spirituality and our mediumship and our psychicness like more potent and like helpful, you know? So whatever that self-work means to you, I think sometimes that can include shadow work, but it can also just mean like working with the difficult parts of yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I really gave an answer about what I think about it.
No,
that was kind of a roundabout.
Actually, one of the things that you said, know thyself, right? Know thyself. And that is the one thing. But when it comes to the whole realm of this buzzword, shadow work, know thyself also goes back to, harkens back to that one, the one, the very impactful resolution is accepting yourself. I'm going to tell, I love what, Haley, you are a genius. When you said your spiritual practices and things might change when you do shadow work, can I just tell you guys, there are so many aspects to my spiritual practice that changed as I started accepting myself and working through some of the things that I was fearful of. You're going to laugh at this, Haley. Spirit guides were your first thing, and that was so easy for you and so interesting. When I started practicing literal, like when I started meditating and doing like spell work and stuff like that, like really doing it, not just like reading about it and finding it fascinating, I was terrified of spirit guides. I didn't want to work with a spirit guide. I was scared of it because of, you know, and even though I was branching into other things that I was told was going to send me to hell and do all these things, I was very, very scared of working with spirit guides. And I had to work through that. That was part of what I would say was part of my shadow work, was to kind of work on that. And oh my gosh, now I'm talking to all sorts of people in spirit all the time. I was terrified to tell people about my seeing spirit people. I was terrified to all these things and to read for people and everything like that. And when you said that your spiritual practices will probably change, it's because there are probably things that you are fearful of right now because of the work that you still need to do, or things that don't resonate with you right now that will start resonating with you as you work through these shadow realms. So if that's not one thing, or shadow realms, shadow work, if that's not one thing that should motivate you to work on your shadow self and to work on this, I don't know what else would, because to open yourself up to way different practices and more aspects to spirit. I mean, come on, that's why we're here, right? I mean, and I say that's why we're here. That's why we're on this podcast. That's why you're listening to this, is to kind of open up to your spirit and to yourself and to spirit in general. And so why not get working on that those shadow aspects of yourself? But again, give yourself grace. And if you feel that you need a little extra help from anybody, whether it be reaching out to Haley and I, or to a friend, or you're needing actual or more specialized help, don't be afraid of that, because let me tell you, it's the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
Yeah.
And it's in.
It's in, and it's spiritual too. Like that's one thing that it can feel very spiritual. And yeah, so I would say like, don't put shadow work into a box. I think it can be a lot of different things. Yeah. And I think some people, like, your life can change and you can unlock a lot of stuff, which I think is true, but who knows how long it really takes us all to work through our shadow, you know?
Oh yeah. And I think too, first of all, two things, and don't let me forget market, that you said market, because I'm going to say this other thing first. You can open up such a can of worms when you go into working in shadow work. And I feel like once you start, don't stop. You've got to keep going. And I'm going to use this example is, I'm going to go back to myself because I can only speak for myself, is, you know, have been on this journey of working on my self-image and accepting myself for who I am and what I look like and where, you know, what I'm doing. I love working out and I love being physically fit, you know, but I still have a really rough self-image. And going into the shadow work aspect of that and trying to accept myself opens up a whole can of worms of where does this self-image issue come from? And then having to go to that and work on that aspect of it and then accept all of this, and then comes in forgiveness and comes in all these things, not just for other people, but to myself. And so, you know, it really is, it's like a can of worms. And it's like, there's like several cans of worms that, you know, you might end up opening up. And that's where I do feel it is nice to have help. It is nice to have more things. Back to the marketing thing that I think is just so, for the lack of a better word, I think it's disgusting, in my opinion, is how, you know, I think that in 2020 with, you know, COVID and the pandemic and the world shutting down, our world had a mass spiritual awakening. It's just to see like 2019 versus 2020. And now the mass awakening that has happened. And what came with that mass awakening is a lot of people profiting on that. And, you know, I think it was very necessary, but I think that, you know, there are a lot of buzzwords out like shadow work and stuff like that. And there's like a double-edged sword to it. It's like, you know, it's becoming so much more, it has become so much more mainstream to hear shadow work, which is great because now people are understanding that, oh, these are things I need to work on. But then there's also the whole marketing aspect of shadow work that becomes kind of like people just wanting to make money off of your trauma. And so be careful and be wary of it. But yeah, just be wary of that. And, you know, be wary of people who, you know, want to kind of like monopolize that whole thing, and take care of yourself and just know that we're here for you. Sorry.
Yeah, I think working with practitioners who you really trust and get a good vibe from, and who you can afford, I will say, that is really important.
Okay.
Now that we're sort of finished other people's, do you want to talk about any spiritual resolutions that you have?
Yeah. Well, continued stuff for me. Like, I do want to continue my sitting in the power, continue my mediumship development, which I don't think though, I don't care when I'm like 69 million years old, I will still be working on mediumship development. I don't think anybody's ever done with that. So always continued with that. I have a spiritual goal next year is going to be huge for me spiritually. And for those of you who know me and know Haley, we will divulge more of this information later. Can't do it right now, but I am, one big thing that I would like to start doing next year and honing in on is teaching and mentoring, and kind of taking what I've learned so far in my psychic and mediumship development and helping kind of spread that. I don't know that I feel, and this is my ego, that I am still learning so much that it's hard to imagine teaching other people. But at the same time, I find myself doing it all the time anyway. And so I'm like, well, why don't I just start doing this and doing like workshops and doing things like this? So whether that be maybe in person here where I live in Florida, or via, you know, Zoom and stuff like that, I would love to start doing some sort of like fun, like teaching moments. I love teaching. I love teaching people and sharing knowledge. And so I can see myself moving more so into that. So yeah, that's a huge one for me.
Love it. Yeah. I love the idea of workshops. I love the idea of seeing you lead like some workshops. I just love that so much. I think you're made for it, babe. I love it.
Thanks, babe.
For me, in terms of resolutions, here's a few things that I'm thinking about. And it's so funny because earlier in this episode, we kind of said like, don't burn yourself out on like going really hard. But I think I'm at a place in my practice where I would like to try to meditate every day of 2024, whether it's 1 minute.
Okay.
Or 30 minutes sitting in the power, 15 minutes sitting in the power, like whatever. It could be, it's just like showing the fuck up in meditation in a way that I haven't before. I'm really interested in doing that. So I created a meditation tracker available on my website. Shameless plug, that I will have. It has every day of the year, like all the months lined up every day. And you can like check it off or highlight it every day that you meditate. So I'm going to be sticking that to my wall and, you know, going for it and seeing if I can really show up every day, even if it's just for like maybe my minimum. I'll set a minimum for myself that's like 2 or 3 minutes, you know, 1 minute's super short. So it'll be like my minimum is 2 minutes, and every day for a minimum of 2 minutes, I am going to show up to meditate. And I'm really interested to see what that looks like for me. I'm interested to see if I can do it, and I feel ready to try. So I'm not saying I'm going to succeed, but I really am interested in trying.
Oh my God. Haley, I'm joining you.
So yes, meditation every day. We'll see how it goes. And then the other two things I'm sort of just interested in exploring a little bit more. Consciousness in general has just been really fascinating to me lately. So I'm hoping to like read some books on consciousness and sort of just like get into that a little bit more. Ooh. Just sort of been fascinated by it and like where it lives in or out of our body and just like all that kind of general stuff I think is really cool. And then like astral travel, I would love to like have a few little astral travel experiences or astral projection experiences this year. I don't know what that looks like for me yet, but it's kind of going to be a goal of mine.
So. I love that. You know what? Okay. First of all, making this about me for a second. I want to try to meditate with you. I don't know that I will do. I'll probably take a break like on weekends. Take weekends off. No, I don't know. We'll see. But I want to sit in the power every single day. And I want to finish my sit in the power journal too. So like that whole thing. So that's part of it. But something that you said about these astral travel and stuff like that reminded me that I also am trying to open up to clairaudience. And that is not one that I am... Oddly, I'm getting more. It's coming. The more I open up to it, the more I invite it in. But that's something I want to work on. So anyway, I love this astral travel stuff. That's going to be fucking cool and scary.
Yeah, we'll see. On one of the psychic teachers episodes, they mentioned this. The Monroe Institute does the Gateway Experience, which is sort of about like, it's an 8-week course that is kind of about like astral projection and like different stuff like that. And I think I was kind of going to put myself on like a course band this year because I did a lot last year, but I don't know. I might just have to do it. I don't know.
Try it and see what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm also really excited to sort of keep more track of the moon this year. My aunt gave me a really gorgeous like moon journal for my birthday. And so I'm really excited to just sort of be a little bit more in tune with the new moons and the full moons and like the waxing crescents and all that shit too. So. Mm-hmm. Exciting 2024 coming up for all of us, I think.
Very exciting and very fun. Oh my gosh. I'm probably going to download your meditation tracker.
Absolutely.
I think I'm going to do that. Yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that. And I'll let you guys know what I think. I'm joking.
Yeah. Give your honest review of the meditation tracker, please.
I will. Oh, I did. Remember I did your basking in the universe. I loved that. That was, guys, go to it. I mean, and honestly, Haley, the price of that was pretty awesome. I really appreciate that. So thank you. I love supporting my friends.
Aww, thank you, Anthony.
If I'm your friend and you do any sort of business, if I can't buy anything, I will share it. And if I can buy it, I'm going to spend money on it. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely love that.
But anyway, Haley, I love you so much. And
Oh my God, I love you too. And I love your hat, by the way. Anthony's wearing a white hat with a rainbow on it and I'm obsessed.
It's gay.
And we love it that way.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, everybody, so, so much for submitting your resolutions and listening along. I think 2024 is going to be so, so much fun for all of us.
It's going to be great. I'm excited. I can't wait to share with everybody what's happening. And Haley, I think we should make it our resolution to meet each other in person in 2024.
I love that idea. Let's do that.
Let's do that. Let's do it. And we'll eat pizza.
And we'll have pizza. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Amazing. Well, Anthony, thank you as always for being the Pod's BFF and coming on and doing this episode with me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Haley. Love you. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you love the podcast and listen on Apple, please be sure to rate and leave a review. If you want more from Opening the Door, follow along on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast. Have a question about psychic work or psychic development? Email openingthedoorpodcast@gmail.com and you might have your question included in one of our future Q&A episodes.